Good morning and a warm welcome in Christ to all and every one of us, but especially to any who are here as visitors or guests, and also to many whom we are seeing who are back from college elsewhere in the country, visiting family for the vacation, for the holidays. Many blessings to you as well. Good to see you here as well. I'm Matthew Swara, one of the pastors here at Zion Mennonite Church, along with Janet Gingrich, who will also be helping to lead worship. With the Magi, the wise men who came to worship the Christ child bearing their gifts, we can say that we have come to worship Him. I should also say, too, for any guests who are with us, first-time visitors, we also have guest cards in the back of the pews in front of you. And we invite you, if you'd like us to know who you are, know a little bit more, maybe how we might pray for you or something like that, then fill out that guest card with as much information as you wish to put on it, and then put it in the offering basket as it comes around. Ancient Christian tradition speaks of Christmas and the Advent season as a time when we celebrate actually three comings of Christ. And there is the coming of Christ, the child born in Bethlehem. Then there is also the anticipation of Christ coming again at the end of human history when every eye shall see Him. But also a way in which we celebrate the Christ coming to each of us in our own lives and histories, and in those moments when we are open and needing Him, seeking Him, and He comes to us. And I think this sense was captured so well in that beautiful Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of the heavens. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. That wonderful noise that you also hear coming from the hall is the children who will be singing to us in just a moment. But if we can all hang on just a little bit longer just to hear these first verses of the Christmas story from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I know many of us have heard this many, many times in our lives, but if we can please all try to hear it again for the first time. Here's how the story begins. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for him. Children.
Well, I just need to clarify as we're coming in. I believe in the bulletin it calls us a children's choir. That kind of really raises the bar from what we do. We are more like the joyful noise Sunday school kids that are here to worship. I reinforce it. It's not a performance. Nobody is judging. But we will be needing the congregation to join us on the words. Somehow when we pass out our musical instruments, they forget to sing. So they are going to provide kind of a really joyful noise accompaniment, and I hope that you will all join us in singing this song.
As we get ready for the candle lighting, all the Advent candles and the Christmas candle, let's join in this call to worship that you will find printed on an insert in the bulletin. I'll give you a moment to find it. Let this be our invitation for the dear Christ to enter in. And I will begin. Yes, the invitation to carry light comes to each of us, no matter who we are. Together, O God, you choose to dwell within us. You promise to move about and with us until we find our rest in you. Your call seems risky. Saying yes takes away our breath. Yet we know your faithfulness and steadfast love endures forever. You are our strength. Yes, let it be now. Bryn?
So please turn in your green book to number 13.
Sometimes we all have weeks like that, right?
We'll have the women sing on verse 3 and the men sing on verse 4.
My soul is filled with joy as I sing to God my Savior. You have looked upon your servant. You have visited your people and holy is your name. Through all generations, everlasting is your mercy to the people.
men.
To the hungry you give food, send the rich away empty. In your mercy you are mindful of the people you have chosen, and holy is your name through all.
Turn in your blue hymnal to number 184. Please stand. Number 184. Number 199. and turn over to number 201. Sorry, number 197. 197.
I invite the ushers to come forward to help us in this next part of our worship, doing as the wise men did, the Magi, bringing as well their gifts to honor the Christ. I will ask them, while the offering is being played, to go ahead and receive the offering and then bring it back here that we might consecrate it with a prayer at that time. Thank you. Please join me in this prayer of consecration. In response to your gift, O God, of your dearest, your best, yourself, so tenderly, so vulnerably, so mercifully, what can we do but offer ourselves? And grant, O God, that in this offering of substance, of time, of labor, our hearts may follow, so that our hearts may be where our treasure is given, to you, O Lord. So bless these gifts and the givers, that all may go to your glory, that all may serve you and honor you as you are worthy. We pray in the name of Him who is our everything. Amen. And now it's time for children to come forward for a story with Carl.
Still more kids coming, aren't there? Oh, it's good to see you. Last week we talked about woodworking. And my name's Carl Berkey, and I like to work with wood. I like to make things out of wood. Do you like to make things? It's kind of fun, isn't it? What day is tomorrow? Do you know?
Christmas!
It's Christmas, isn't it? You're right. Christmas is tomorrow.
Christmas Eve.
Today is Merry Christmas Eve, right? What do you like about Christmas tomorrow?
Open presents and stockings.
Oh, you like opening presents?
We already opened presents.
Yeah.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord. Good idea. One of the things I was thinking about was everybody gets presents on Jesus' birthday, don't they? But you're the only one that gets presents on your birthday. Why do you think that is? Jesus wants us to be happy. I think you're right. Last week we talked about making wooden bowls, and that was something that I like to do. And so this week I worked on a piece of wood. Let me just show you what I did. If you look at this, this is like a half a piece of wood, right? From when you go to the wood pile. And I turned it. Do you see the bowl in that? It's not finished yet, is it? I need to take these edges off to make the bowl. And I'll mount it here and turn it some more. And then we'll let it dry. This one's a little bit more finished. It looks like a bowl, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it has something in it.
It does. It has a thing in the middle, doesn't it? That way I can hold it when I want to turn it. And if you touch this, it's cold and it's heavy because it's still got a lot of water in it. And I'm going to take it home and I'll put it in a pile of sawdust for 6 to 9 months and let it dry some more. And then we can turn it and make it into a final wooden bowl. I was also thinking about we talked about presents a little bit ago, and I like presents. I like things made out of wood. Can I show you a couple things I made out of wood? Oh, what do you think that is? A ball, isn't it? A bowling ball, except it doesn't have holes in it. It's kind of heavy. It's kind of plain. And it has some cracks in it. I brought another ball that I have. Do you see this? If you look in the bottom, you'll see some little balls that are rolling around in the grooves in there. Do you want to look at that? I like those balls. They're kind of fun. One of the things I've thought about with presents, we were talking about presents a minute ago, is that each one of you was a gift. You are a present to your parents. And One of the things is that they like you. And I like the balls that I make, just like your parents like you.
It's another one.
Oh, it's a third ball, isn't it?
It has a crack in it.
It has a crack in it? It does have a crack in it, doesn't it? You're going to ask me a question? No? It's kind of a big one, isn't it? One of the things that happens with a present, if you ask every person here, the big people here, what the best present ever was at Christmas, what do you think they would say it was? What would it be? Family is the best present they ever got. Love is the best present they ever got. Yeah, I think they might say that it was Jesus is the best gift that ever anybody ever got. God gave it to us at Christmas a long time. Would you? Oh, don't worry, it won't break. Let me show you this ball. This one's kind of my favorite one. Do you want to give me that big one back? Because I don't want someone to get hurt. Can you bring it to me? Be careful. Thank you. That way your parents won't worry quite as much, will they? This one is kind of my favorite one. It's pretty plain, isn't it? It looks like all the other ones. But it's kind of like a present. It has something inside, and that's what presents are for. Let me open it and show you what's inside. Okay, can I do that? You see, you just unscrew it, right? And look. And there's a little note in here. It says, "Remember, Jesus is the best Christmas present ever given." And I think that's true. You remember that this week, okay? Thank you, and next week we're going to finish the bowl and show it to you, okay? Thank you for coming. You can go back to your parents.
I'll be reading from Luke 2, verses 8 through 14, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles or electronic devices. Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Would the men's choir please come forward?
Oh, come,
Thank you, men of Zion. Wow. Beautiful. I'm reading from Luke 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Matthew.
I'm going to try something a little different. Is this okay? It is coming on. Very good. Just before I get started sharing a few thoughts, I'd just like you to take a moment to look at the beauty that is here in this sanctuary. A lot of people's work has gone into making this a worshipful space, not only for our ears as we hear the words and the music, but also for our eyes, such as the banners and the beautiful art there that Jana set along the windows. And the fact that we could only get 3 of the 4 candles lit this morning, and it was for no lack of trying on Bryn's part, to me just reminds me of a time, about 30 years ago when our family was traveling, heading from seminary in Indiana to points west, and we stopped and visited some friends at a church in Illinois, not too far from where you're from, Julie. Danvers was the church. And there was a young boy, about 10 years old, who was having just the hardest time with one of those long, I don't know what you call them, stick thingies for lighting the candles, and there was one that just refused to light. And I actually found that a worshipful moment, because I remember thinking, my whole week has been like that. And there's grace and beauty also in the imperfections. And so for, you know, when in those moments of obstinacy and resistance from creation or within our own human natures, isn't it all the more marvelous that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and as us? Now, kids, I'm going to need your help with my message as I get into it right now. So I'm going to call on you to answer me. If you're like me, you've heard the Christmas story and the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 numerous times, not only in church, but maybe parts of it in Christmas carols or the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And so we can almost say it in our sleep, or we might go to sleep as we hear it. But sometimes these passages that are so familiar still have gems that sort of jump out at us. And it was a few years ago when I realized that there was something repetitive in that story that comes up 3 times. It's kind of like a hook on which the whole story hangs. And you hear it in that first passage that we heard, when we hear that, you know, that time came for Jesus to be born, and he was born, and Mary wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in, someone help me, kids, laid him where? In a manger. Very good. Okay? So that's from Luke, St. Luke the evangelist. And then the angels, in the next section, the angels appear to the shepherds, and they say, "We bring you good news. To you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and you will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying," kids? I can't hear you. In a manger. Very good. And then we read that the shepherds went to Bethlehem, and they found the Christ child wrapped in cloths and lying
in a manger.
Do you think that phrase, "in a manger," might be important? No. All right. I'm going to treasure that for keeps. Okay. Well, I kind of think it is. We've heard it from St. Luke, and we've heard it from the angels. So why would that phrase, in a manger, be so important? Well, I can think of several reasons. I've jotted them down somewhere here. Several reasons why it might be important. And one is, a manger, being laid in a manger, tells us something about the nature of this king who has come to us. Wouldn't we normally expect a king to come and be born in a palace among all this royal, all the royal trappings of purple and gold and jewels and things like that? But no, he is laid in a manger, which is about as low in the earth as you can get for a birth. You know, often in our Christmas pageants or the Christmas art, the manger is depicted as like a box, an open-sided box, placed between some 2x4s set in a cross shape. And that might have been the manger then, but just as likely it was just a trough chiseled out of the stone in which you could place the hay or the grain for the animals to eat and not spread it all around the stable where they are. So this tells you that this king is not the king you go looking for in the royal palaces, in the imperial cities. That this is the king that we find, as God said through the prophet Isaiah, God who dwells with the lowly, the humble, and the contrite. As in fact, the only time we're going to find this king in a palace is when he's brought there for judgment, to be mocked and beaten and sentenced to death. So this tells us the lowly, humble nature of the king who has come to us. There's another reason why. And again, if we were devout Jews who knew our Hebrew scriptures really well, we would hear that phrase, in a manger, in a manger, in a manger, three times and think, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, the opening words of God to Israel, saying that the ox knows his master and the donkey knows his master's manger, but what about my people who do not know their master or how he would feed them? And so hearing that phrase three times, in a manger, says to the people of God, do you have half the sense that God gave donkeys and oxen to know who their master is and how and where he feeds you? And that relates to a third reason that says that the coming of this king is good news, yes, to all people. But according to the Hebrew scriptures and the prophecies, this is good news for all of creation. Because if there's a manger, there's got to be oxen and donkey and sheep. And they are standing in there as representatives of all creation, which, as we read in Romans 8, is sort of standing on tiptoes, waiting to see the revelation of the children of God, to see how God brings all our history together in a redemptive, beautiful way, that all creation is in on this, and not just our invisible, immortal, eternal souls. And finally, one last reason why I think he was born in a manger, and that is because there are mangers all around us and within us, set and ready to receive the Christ. And I'll tell you a story. I'll demonstrate that from a story. Don and Carol Richardson were missionaries to the Sawa people of Papua New Guinea about 30, 40 years ago. A very remote place. And they were learning the Sawa language, which is very difficult. And it was taking them years and years, but finally they got to the point where they could tell the Christ story and tell the gospel to the Sawa people in their language. They lived there with their children. And so they started telling the story about Jesus. And when they got to the point where Jesus is betrayed by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane, because, you know, Judas comes to give him a kiss there in the darkness, and so the soldiers know it's him, the Sawa people immediately erupted in laughter and cheers and said, that's good news. They thought that the good news of the story was about Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Because in their culture, they valued, they thought it was humorous and wonderful stories of turning the tables on others, treachery and treason and trickery. So they thought the good news was about the coming of Judas and how he had betrayed Jesus. So the Richardsons think, well, we got to go back to square one here. What are we going to do? Well, at the same time, a long simmering blood feud with a neighboring tribe was getting hot. And it was getting dangerous. It was a dangerous place for them to live with their children. You know, there were some revenge killings going back and forth with some, with at least one neighboring tribe. And so the Richardsons finally said, you know, this is not a safe place for us to raise our children. We'll have to leave. And the Sawa people felt, oh, that's just so terrible. We love these people. We don't understand their stories, but we love these people. And so they reached way deep into their tradition to bring out kind of what you'd call the nuclear option, the most strenuous thing they could do to make peace. And they took one of their children and said to this neighboring hostile tribe, this is the peace child whom we are offering to you for you to keep and raise. And if we do anything terrible to anyone in your village, according to the tradition, you can do this to our child living and growing among you. And that was really serious for that other tribe, too. These people, the Sawa, mean business about making peace. Do you see the tie-in with the gospel there? So that gave the Richardsons a chance to retell the story of Jesus, to offer him as, to present him as God's peace child to us, God's guarantee of his willingness and desire to be at peace with us, for us to be at peace with each other by giving himself in his son so vulnerably, so peacefully, as a guarantee of his goodwill, his peaceful intentions to us. And we're free to do anything we wish with him, but this is a guarantee of God's peacemaking among us. And that touched the Sawa people deeply at heart, so that a church started among them. And then using the peace child, or talking about Jesus as God's peace child, they are able to start churches in other tribes, including former enemy tribes. Do you see how there was already something like a manger waiting in that culture and in that tradition of the peace child, just waiting to receive the Christ, where he would fit right into their culture and their language and their traditions? I believe that's the same way with every heart, with every home, with every community, and every culture. There is a manger waiting, ready, that is Christ-shaped, to receive Christ and to host him when he comes. So that, I think, is another reason why he was laid, kids, help me, where? In a manger. Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to teach us a song that our four-year-old daughter taught us. And it's so easy that our four-year-old daughter was able to teach it to us. She learned it at a nursery school, a preschool, when we were living in the Detroit metro area. And it comes out of the African-American tradition. And there was something of a manger in that tradition as well, because so many of these Africans who were brought here against their will by slavery already had a tradition of telling stories and teaching songs by the call and response method. The leader would say something and people came back with a regular response. That's true in African-American preaching, but often African-American songs, so that people could learn the Christmas story even though as slaves they weren't supposed to learn to read or write, or even after the Civil War when, because of, Reconstruction, slavery under another name, they often didn't have good schools or get to go to school. And so our daughter taught it to us, but I'll teach you the refrain that comes back to me, the leader, and it's simply the words, "Oh my Lord." So can you sing that with me? "Oh my Lord, I was a little baby." Next one is, oh my Lord, there was a little baby, oh my Lord. And then, way down in Bethlehem, sing that with me, way down in Bethlehem. And the next part, way down in Bethlehem. So this will be a practice verse, okay? I sing, there was a little baby, and you go, oh my Lord, there was a little baby. Oh my Lord, there was a little baby. Oh my Lord, way down in Bethlehem. Way down in Bethlehem. Let's do it again now. There was a little baby. Oh my Lord, there was a little baby. Oh my Lord, there was a little baby.
Oh, my Lord, way down in Bethlehem, way down in Bethlehem. Let's go on. They laid him in a manger. Oh, my Lord, they laid him in a manger. Oh, my Lord, they laid him in a manger. Oh, my Lord, way down in Bethlehem, way down in Bethlehem. They named the baby Jesus. Oh, my Lord, they named the baby Jesus. Oh, my Lord, they named the baby Jesus. Oh, my Lord, way down in Bethlehem, way down in Bethlehem. The angels sang about him. Oh, my Lord, the angels sang about him. Oh, my Lord, the angels came to sing about him. Oh, my Lord, way down in Bethlehem, way down in Bethlehem. The shepherds came to see him. Oh, my Lord, the shepherds came to see him. Oh, my Lord, the shepherds came to see him. Oh, my Lord, way down in Bethlehem, way down in Bethlehem. Last verse. The wise men came to see him. Oh, my Lord, the wise men came to see him. Oh, my Lord, the wise men came to see him. Oh, my Lord, way down in Bethlehem, way down in Bethlehem. Thank you, everyone.
Please take your insert in your bulletin, words of confession, and words of assurance I'd like for you to join me in the insert in your bulletin. Words of confession. Please join me. O God of blessing and joy, your favor rests upon us, and our soul magnifies you. We sing of your steadfast love and proclaim your faithfulness. We confess we often lack complete walking in our building our own houses instead of joining you in turning ruins into abundance. We are terrified and overcome by fear, wondering how will we know and pondering how can this be. We are afraid to claim and proclaim that nothing is impossible when your power overshadows us, when your spirit comes upon us. We find it hard to let go and say, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Forgive us. And words of assurance, join me. O God, Emmanuel, in Jesus the Christ, you have come among us. You have given us life, and we are restored. I would like to invite you to join me in the congregational prayer. And at the end of my prayer, I would like for you to say, come down, come in, come among us and make us whole. So let's do that together. Come down, come in, come among us and make us whole. Let's pray. Lord, in the hushed anticipation of your coming, we ask that you would light in us a desire to remain awake, that we might be ready and eager. As we pray, come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. Into our troubles and weaknesses, into the barren places of our soul, come, Lord, come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. Into the war-torn and the refugee, into those who live in conflict, come, Lord, come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. Into the homeless and the unemployed, into those who feel abandoned, come, Lord. Come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. Into the sick and the disabled, into those with cancer, come, Lord. Come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. Into the poor and the starving, into those who are oppressed or abused, come, Lord. Come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. Into the lives of our loved ones, into those from whom we are estranged, we pray, come, Lord. Come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. Into our joys and celebrations, into our work and our achievements, come, Lord. Come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. O Christ, we long for your coming. Hurry the day when those who seek you in every nation will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit at your table in your kingdom. Hurry the day when your kingdom will come in all its glory, and suffering and pain, sickness and oppression and death will be overcome forever. Hurry the day when we will be resurrected as a great multitude, a great family, and live in peace, harmony, joy, and love in your kingdom. Come, Lord, come down, come in, come among us, and make us whole. Amen.
Before our ascending song, let us all rise to receive this benediction. In honor of Him who is, who was, and who is to come, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you and give you great peace. Amen.
Please turn to number 318, Joy to the World.